Our gospel lesson is found in Mark, the 12th chapter, verses 28 and following. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is like this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well," said teacher, the man replied, "you're right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all of your heart, with all of your understanding, with all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that, he answered wisely. He said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. This morning, we wrap up the series, Living in Greatness, with positive passion, a great command. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this 92-year-old man who wasn't feeling very well, and so he went to the doctor for a checkup. And a few days later, the doctor saw him in a park, and he was with this beautiful young lady, and he was feeling just as happy as could be. And the doctor looked at him and said, "You sure are feeling better, aren't you?" And the man said, "Well, yes, I'm just following your orders. You said get a hot mama and be cheerful." And the doctor said, "I didn't say that. I said you have a heart murmur. Be careful." You know, passion in our life can change everything. And I thought that was so perfect, Mary Ann's children's message this morning, about the things that distract us from the true passion in life. But when we find the right passion in our life, then our life has a joy. It has a power. It has a sort of a center of gravity that draws us forward. And in this reading this morning about the great command, you know, this is found a number of times in the different gospel lessons. And two of the gospels, the context is a little different. And it's no doubt that this great command was something that Jesus was asked about more than once. And so, and the other ones, we often think about the lawyer who came to Jesus who was wanting to know who the neighbor was. And Jesus goes on and tells the very famous parable of the Good Samaritan. But this context is a little different. And I think it's important because sometimes we gloss over what Jesus said about the great command. And so this morning, I'd like to look at this great command because I think it has something that's powerful and I think really gives us some passion in our life, some focus in our life, and something that Jesus thought was the most important thing. And the first thing is to look at the context is this, which is to go back to Deuteronomy, which is the original context of the great command. This is the first prayer that young Jewish people would learn. In fact, they would recite it all of their lives. This is probably the first prayer that Jesus prayed. So it's important to not only look at the Lord's Prayer, but Jesus' first prayer. And the first thing to think about this is the context for this is back in the scripture that Wally read, which is from Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. In that original context, Moses is with the people of Israel, and they've come through the wilderness, and they're up to the River Jordan. They're about ready to go into Promised Land, and Moses will not go across the river with him. God has told Moses that he's going to depart before then. God's going to take him to his heavenly home. But the children of Israel are going to cross over under the command of Joshua. And so Moses recites all the things that God has done. He reviews them. In fact, Deuteronomy literally means remembering or recalling. And so Moses recalls the great truths that they will need as they cross over into the Promised Land to make them successful. It was part of Moses' last challenge to them as the great coach and leader. Moses is reminding them about the most important things in life. Moses is not going to be with them when they cross over the Jordan River and go into the Promised Land. He gives them the Ten Commandments again, reviews them, but before he does that, he gives them this important principle. And when we think about the Ten Commandments, we often think it's a list of do nots, you know, the prohibitions. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. In fact, it starts out with a very positive way, which is love the Lord your God and serve only him and honor your parents. But before Moses does any of this, Moses lays down the positive principle, which Jesus recalls this morning. And if you think about that sometimes, I mean, if there's a great coach in football, or maybe basketball is a better sport right now at Purdue, a great coach doesn't tell you the things not to do so much as the things to do, right? It's, coach will tell you, you know, don't fumble the ball. They say you have a tendency to fumble the ball. Rather, the coach is supposed to say, you know, hold the ball on both ends, finish the play, things like that. The positive things that you can focus on that helps you to finish the play and do the right thing. And so in the same way, I think Moses is laying this down as a word from God. And if you think about it for a moment, The word sin is really a term from archery. So any archers out there this morning? A few of those. Yeah, good archer there. So in archery, the term to sin means to just miss the mark. So be shy of the bullseye. Savannah took this liking to archery a few summers ago, and so we had a chance to actually go out and to shoot a couple times, and one of them was with my niece, who's quite good, and so we went in there, and there was really a lot to it to hit the different targets. You really had to focus on that, and so it takes some focus on the positive things. The same summer, we got a chance to go to a SEAL sniper training school of my nephews in the SEALs, and so he was in sniper school, and they had a family day, so I thought, well, we got to do this, and so we went there, and we had these Navy SEALs, who are just young men, just incredibly energetic, very smart, just to give their life a passion for this, and they gave us some pointers on how you shoot these guns. We got to shoot three different guns. Savannah just shot one, but I shot all three of them, and they just told you how to focus and how to do certain things, so you just looked at the target, and then I got to shoot at one that was 600 yards and 800 yards, and the last one was a mile away, and got to hit that with their help. But they really teach you how to focus, and they have a lot of distractions going on, obviously, but to really focus, and so they can shoot consistently at over a mile with incredible accuracy. And so Moses is saying, listen, this is what you have to focus on in life, and this is what he gives them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, for the Jewish folks, this is called the Shema. So anyone, any people speak Hebrew out there today? Well, listen, you can speak Hebrew this morning. I'm going to give you the first line in Hebrew and have you repeat it after me. And Shema really means listen or to hear. So the first word phrase is Shema Israel. So go ahead and say Shema Israel. And now say it with confidence. Shema Israel. Very good. Adonai Elohim. Adonai Elohim, which is our Lord is our God. And then Adonai Echad. The Lord is one. And it's good to be reminded about the things that we share. They're very important with our Jewish friends. This would have been the first prayer that Jesus learned. And Jesus is underscoring this today, not only the great command, but it's also a great prayer. And every young boy and girl in Israel growing up would have learned that. And it goes on to say, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And so I just want to walk through that prayer and that great command, the greatest command this morning. And the first thing is, hear, O Israel, which is us, okay? So hear, but the Lord is our God. And the reason we can say the Lord is our God in this case, with Moses speaking to the Israelites, was the Lord had proven that he was their God. This was the Lord who had brought them out of Egypt with a tremendous hand. God had worked miracles, and God had vanquished Pharaoh and got them across the Red Sea, and then the waters of the Red Sea folded in on the armies of Pharaoh, and they were spared and saved. And then God had gotten them through the wilderness and all the trials and temptations and battles and difficulties they had faced in the wilderness, and now God was bringing them to the promised land. And so it was a promise not only that God is their God, but that God will be their God this day and in the future. And so the Lord is our God, their God, and also our God. And then the Lord is one. You know, Marianne did a great, perfect children's sermon for us this morning, because sometimes when we think about this culture, we know that back in this ancient life that the people worshiped all kinds of different gods. I mean, there were the gods from the tree, all the different nature kinds of things, and then there was the golden calf kind of a thing that was a god that was a temptation. And today we think, well, gee, you know, that was for ancient people. But look today. I mean, you think of the party and atmosphere that you have the running of the bulls in Spain, and then you think of what's the symbol on Wall Street? It's the bull, right? So sort of the golden calf anew. But in our own life, there's also the temptations, like Marianne said, of possessions and popularity and money and the things that we can become our God. And all those might be good things, but if they come before our Lord and our God, then they become sort of false idols for us, false things, and they dissipate our lives. And so the Lord is one, and we should worship the one God as the first priority of our life, because our Lord, our God, is over all those things. One God. One God who saved us, redeemed us, provided for us. And it's really reminiscent of Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember Jesus' prayer when he said that they may be one as we are one. And that's interesting, isn't it? That Jesus' prayer echoes that. And then the word is to love the Lord your God. And love here, Jesus uses the word agape. Those of you know, this is the deepest kind of love, the profound love, because God has redeemed us and loved us and transformed us. We can love God in return. And then it says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Now, the word in Greek is cardios. It's different in Hebrew, but, you know, that's heart. And sometimes we say, well, that's just an organ in our body, and we begin to get really sort of physical about it. But the truth is, if you ask someone to point to themselves, where do they point? They point to their heart, don't they? They usually don't point, you know, it's me, it's me. And I think it really helps us to recall that the heart for ancient culture, and I think for us too, is this is a symbol of our deepest nature, the deepest part of us. And we think about that when we love someone, of course, we just had Valentine's Day, we just had heart there, right? It's the deepest part of our life, our center of our emotions, the center of our being. And so God is saying through Moses, love me with all of your heart, the deepest part of you. Push aside the things that crowd out the love that you have for me. And it's not just love, it's not just following a rogue command, but love me with all of your heart. And then the next thing is to love God with all of your soul. Now, soul here is the eternal part of us, right? That part that in Hebrew, it's nephesh or ruach, sometimes different things, but it's used in different places. Recall the first time is that in creation, remember that in the first chapters of Genesis, when God's breath sort of was upon the waters and caused creation to come into being. And so God's breath is eternal, and God's breath is eternal in us. And then when God formed Adam and Eve from the clay, then God breathed into them, gave them the breath of life, and they became living beings. And then there's a couple instances, other instances in the Bible. Recall the Valley of Dry Bones, when Ezekiel sees this vision of the dry bones, and it's a vision of the church that is to come. And God asked him, this desert valley of dry bones, can these bones come together? And Ezekiel says, yes, but he kind of meant, I don't think so. And then God says, watch, and he says, breathe on them, and then God's breath comes into the Valley of Dry Bones, and the bones become living human beings. They come together and form a great army, which is a picture of the church. And then in John, in the last chapters of John, when Jesus is resurrected and appears to disciples in the closed room, and Jesus walks in and Jesus reveals himself to them as the risen Lord, then it says that Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And that word is only used once in the New Testament. If you want to be a scholar about this, it's called a hapax legomo. It's real rare. It means it's extra significant. And so Jesus was using this from the Old Testament so they'd know this is a fulfillment of the new creation and a fulfillment of Ezekiel's Valley of Dry Bones, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit and becoming living people. And so love the Lord your God with all of your soul means that part of us that's eternal, that God has made and had us receive the Holy Spirit in our life, and we're able to follow him because of that Holy Spirit. And so our heart and our soul, and then Jesus goes on to echo this, and Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all of your mind and all of your strength. And we got to recall this is a little bit different than the Hebrew culture because mind is in here and it's not in the original Hebrew. Now, part of that reason is because in the Hebrew culture, there wasn't the sort of mind-emotion kind of tug-of-war that you see. Like if you're a Star Trek fan, you've got Spock, who's all kind of mostly reason, right? He doesn't have any emotions. And there's Captain Kirk, who's a great leader, but he's somewhat emotional. He needs Spock to keep him in centered. And so that's sort of a leftover from Greek culture that we have in our life today. We think emotions are irrational and the mind is rational. Of course, if you go into a coffee shop and listen to most people talk, you realize that there's lots of things that are irrational that people are thinking about, right? So the truth is there's education for both our heart and our mind and our emotions. Jesus wants to make sure he covers all the culture in this. It's called sort of a mirrorism, which means it emphasizes, it translates it in a way that everybody can understand and covers everything. In other words, the entire being. And so our mind, of course, is the center of our thought. And so our thought life needs to be focused on God. And our thought life is different. Some of this illustration that Marianne used perfectly because our mind tends to wander. We think about the market. We think about the news, all these things that are important. But where's our focus in life? And Jesus is saying, love the Lord your God with all of your mind too. And then the one that really sums the whole thing up is love the Lord your God with all of your strength or your might. And that's a powerful thing, isn't it? In other words, you need that kind of positive passion in your life, not a list of prohibitions, but a passion that ignites all the rest of our life. And we know that in our relationship lives, it's that way too. And so Jesus is saying, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. In other words, love the Lord your God with all of your being, everything that you have. And if you focus on God, then everything else will come together. In fact, it's like if you have Purpose plus passion equals promise. And listen to the promise that is given to Moses and the people of Israel, and I think also to us. It says this in verse 2, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all of his decrees and commandments that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord our God, our ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and gates. You know, part of that gave rise to the practice of putting literally a written, this prayer, the Shema, in a leather box, either on your forehead or on your arm. In fact, Jesus was probably talking to people who, in fact, had those on them. But I think Jesus is reminding them, and this teacher that Jesus talked to is reminded that it can't just be something that's written, something that we carry around. It has to be inside our heart. And that's what makes it the center of our heart and our being. And so love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. But Jesus gives one last thing that's so important, which is the second command, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's important. And in fact, elsewhere, Jesus says this summarizes all of the law and all of the prophets, and that's an amazing thing. In other words, I think Jesus is saying there's a vertical relation and a horizontal relationship. In other words, our relationships as followers of Christ need to be cross-shaped. And our vertical relationship to Christ that is given reconciliation and grace and forgiveness enables us to have love in our horizontal relationships, and we have forgiveness and grace that we extend to others. And through that, others are invited to Christ as well. And so that's so important. And these two are all the law and all the prophets. And Jesus, in this religious teachers who are often shown as people who are sort of drifting away, Jesus sees in this religious teacher that he's not far from the kingdom of God. And I think it's helpful for us to be reminded. We share a lot with our Jewish friends, and it's real important to focus on that sometimes. And that Jesus was affirming something that Moses affirmed to the children of Israel going into the promised land, that was to have this passion and purpose, and it would bring promise in their lives. And I think the same is true for us. And so in our own lives, are we passing on those things to our children and our children's children? Is it our focus, our passion, our drive, our heart? Is it something we're passing on to our children and our children's children? The great command gives us a positive passion in all of life. And I even have this little thing that this costs less than $10, but it's one of the things that I keep in my car and sometimes in my pocket oftentimes. It has a little image of Christ and a cross, and it has this verse on it. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbors yourself. And if there's nothing else that guides my life, I hope that's it. I hope that's it. And if there's nothing else that I pass on to Savannah, my daughter, then I hope that's it, because Jesus is saying that's the most important thing in all of life. I'm going to close with a couple of thoughts, and the first is something that I love, which is in the original Greek marathon, it wasn't the person who crossed the finish line first that won the race. It was the person who crossed the finish line first who still had their torch lit, and having your torch lit is the most important thing. And in our own life, I think that's a symbol of faith, of our life on fire with love for God. And we need to cross the finish line with our, no matter what we've gone through, hills or valleys or whatever in life, but to cross the finish line with our torch lit bright. We've had some great folks who passed away recently. We think of Iris and we think of Bob and others with great faith. And they had their torch lit as they crossed the finish line. And life was long and sometimes difficult, but they did it with that kind of passion. And I'm going to close with this story, which I love, and I may have shared it before, but the story is of this rabbi in the second century, and he left work and one day from the village, and he was on his way home, and he was praying the Shema. He was praying, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And he kept praying that, and he focused so much on that prayer that he forgot to take the turn to his home, and he kept walking and walking until, as he prayed this, until he came to a Roman soldier's encampment. And as he walked towards it, this Roman soldier said, Halt! Who are you and why are you here? And the rabbi was taken back by that, and so he asked the soldier again, What did you say? And the soldier said, Who are you and why are you here? And the rabbi looked at him and said, how much do they pay you a day? And the soldier was a bit affronted by that and said, who are you and why are you here? And the rabbi said, no, I mean no harm. How much do they pay you a day? And the soldier, realizing it was sort of an older rabbi, said, well, 2 drachma a day. And the rabbi said, I'll double your pay if every day you'll stand by my door, and when I leave and when I come, you'll ask me those 2 questions each and every day. Who are you and why are you here? I think it's a good question for us, isn't it? Who are you and why are you here? And in this prayer, the Shema, and in Jesus' recitation of this and adding the second part of it, is really the center of our life. Who are we and why are we here? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. A great prayer and a great command and a great way to live your life with a positive passion and positive purpose. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, in a busy world that is full of distractions, many of them very good, sometimes we forget the center of our life, and in forgetting the center, we can become dry and withered, and our heart weakens and dries up. But Jesus this morning reminds us of the key to having hearts right with you and right with each other, which is to love you deeply because you first loved us. He loved us in Christ Jesus our Lord, who came and showed us the way of love and then laid down his life on Calvary that we could know forgiveness and new life, and we could share that love with others. And so today, help us to recenter our life, to refocus our life on the center, the bullseye, the mark, which is to love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, through your power and to your glory. Amen.